You're listening to Cannabis Health Radio. Here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
Welcome to another edition of Cannabis Health Radio. I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
Lung cancer is the leading cancer killer in men and women in North America. Approximately 180,000 people will die from the disease this year, according to statistics from the American Lung Association and the Canadian Cancer Society. One of the lucky cancer survivors is David. We won't use his last name, but he lives in Eastern Canada. He's here to tell us his remarkable story and the role cannabis played in his treatment. David, good of you to tell your story. Thanks very much.
You're more than welcome.
David, take us back to January of this year when you were x-rayed for a lung infection and pick up your story from there.
In January 2016, which was early in the new year, I had a bad cold, and I went to see the doctor at a clinic, and they referred me for an x-ray on my lungs because they felt I had an infection. And from that x-ray, it was determined that I had some scarring on my lungs, but I had been previously diagnosed with COPD. So at that time, all they did was they sent me back to my own doctor for the following day, and I was prescribed medication for a lung infection. In April, I went down south to Cuba, and while I was down there, I got sick again with another lung infection, and down there, I was diagnosed with a lung infection, and it was only about 3 days before I returned to Canada. When I come back, I was still sick, and as a result of that, I went to outpatients, actually. And the doctor there, what he did was that he sent me for an x-ray, and because he wanted to see what was going on with my lungs, because I did tell him I had COPD and I had a previous lung infection in January. As a result of that, after he got the results back from the x-ray, he indicated to me that it looked like there was scarring in January, and it looked like the scarring had increased from January to April. So at that point, he then referred me for a CT scan, which was about 2 weeks later, about 2 weeks later. And this would take me around to the 28th of April. And he called me on the phone, the outpatient doctor, and advised me that he had received the results of the CAT scan. And it was quite apparent that I had, in all probability, lung cancer.
That must have been a heck of a shock for you, because your brother died of lung cancer a year earlier, correct?
It was more than a shock. It floored me because the year before, I witnessed my brother. He had been diagnosed with lung cancer, and he had started chemotherapy, and he was into it about, I think it was on his sixth or seventh round, and he just kept on getting sicker and sicker. And at the end of it, his last 4 months were, they cut the chemo off, and they said that the chemo was acting exact opposite the way it should be. And as a result, they couldn't do anything more for him. And the chemo just kept on eating away, and the cancer spread like crazy. For 4 months, he ended up dying a horrible death. And all I could see in my mind was that was going to be my end result. And at that time, there was a person who referred my wife to somebody who would help me with a diet. Mm-hmm. So as a result of that, when I was discussing the issue of my diet, it was a naturopath. And I said to him, I said what I was looking at, because the doctors had come back and told me that in all probability, I would need because of the cancer, I would need a full lung operation, which would mean opening me up way underneath my rib cage. And that would be, and they would remove the tumor. It was a fairly large tumor. And they said that they said that they would be doing radiation and chemotherapy after the surgery. So in the interim, I was concerned. I was totally blown away by all that. I was just thinking my chances were next to none. But I did go along with my wife to go see the naturopath and look at what they call a cancer diet. And that would be just to slow things down because the the cancer, because I did go for a biopsy as well, and they gave me the results of the biopsy, which clearly indicated that it was an aggressive cancer. And it reflected that from January to April, that what they were looking at was not the scar tissue, it was actually the tumor, and the tumor had grown from January to April.
So here's the situation you're in, and I'm just wondering what goes through your mind. You have been diagnosed with lung cancer. You witnessed your brother dying, and he died of lung cancer, and the chemo was just horrendous on him. What were you thinking of at the time?
To be perfectly honest, was that I really believed in my own mind that I had already made the decision, and it was a tough decision, that because of what happened to my brother, I would rather have died as a result of the cancer rather than taking that chance of going through what I had witnessed him going through for 4 months, which was a horrendous way for anybody to die. He was in significant pain and discomfort, and it was just a horrible thing to watch. And I didn't want to die that way, because my mother had died of bowel cancer, and at that time the oncologist had said she was 78, and they said that it would serve no purpose to give her chemotherapy. She was 78. She lived a long life, and it wouldn't benefit her. And in reality, at the end of it, she was only in discomfort for about a week, and then she passed away. So I was trying to balance out: do I want to live like 4 months like my brother, or do I want to take the 1 week and enjoy whatever time I had left? Because I just felt that if chemo didn't work, it was not going to bode well for me whatsoever. So when I was talking to the naturopath, I asked him, because I wasn't familiar with cannabis treatment, or all I was aware of was that cannabis could be used for anxiety, keep you from being nauseous and to deal with pain. And when I asked him that question, he just sort of put his head down, and then he raised his head and he said, "What would you think about marijuana saving your life?" And I was floored at that. I didn't know what to, I couldn't believe what he was saying. And at that point, he explained to me a number of patients that he had referred to a phone number in BC. And he talked about three previous patients, of which one was a 42-year-old woman that he had just recently treated. She had a brain tumor that was inoperable. Chemo was cut off because it was a hopeless case, and they prepared her for her death. She had a life expectancy of 4 months, and she went on this cannabis treatment. And 8 weeks into the treatment, she went for a scheduled CAT scan, and the tumor was gone. Her cancer was gone. So I'm sitting there, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And because, and I don't want to be too critical of the medical process, but I knew that I had time to take this treatment before I would even be set up for chemo, because I still hadn't had my PET scan done. Based on that, I decided to look at the two sites that he had referred me to, which was Rick Simpson's Run from the Cure and the Corey Yellen story. And so he gave me the phone number. He didn't give me the phone number. He passed it to my wife, and he said, "Make that phone call. Make sure you make this phone call." And my wife looked at him and she said, "Well, do you guys work together?" And he said, "Absolutely not. I have nothing to do with this. I'm just giving you information. It's whatever you want to do with it." And I understood at that point where his position was that certainly can't jeopardize his position in life or his profession. So we did. Actually, I made the call. I talked to the person in British Columbia. After I had read both Corey's history and her story, and I had read the Rick Simpson Run from the Cure, or I viewed it on YouTube.
I think just before you continue, I think you were very, very lucky in running into someone in the conventional medical community who actually steered you toward cannabis, because most of them just cover their ears or don't want to talk about it, or quite frankly, many of them know nothing about it. But you were really, really lucky, weren't you?
I would say I'd have to be one of the luckiest people in Canada. And I say that because when I started all this, like, even though even though that I had been referred to it and I talked to the contact, I still needed some reassurance. And I couldn't believe it when I sent a Facebook message to Corey and she responded.
Yeah, she gets a lot of those, don't
you? I get a few a day.
Yeah. And I talked to Corey and you know, and she guided me, she assisted me, she coached me. She didn't tell me what to do. And that's what I appreciated more than anything. Because I was discussing the oil versus the oil paste. And we had some discussion about that. And eventually I chose the oil paste.
Corey, David. Corey, can you explain the difference between the oil and the paste? Is it just the way it is produced?
I think it's the way it comes out thicker, doesn't it, David? It's not like a tarry fluid like oil is it?
No, it's not. And to be honest with you, I'd actually tried some of the oil from local here that a friend of mine went and got for me to do it while I was waiting for the paste to come. And I had a difficulty ingesting it, to be honest with you. Whereas the paste, when I did receive it, I just kept it in the freezer and then you just scoop it out. And it was sort of like frozen yogurt. And you just scoop it out, put it on your tongue and swallow it right away. And it's done.
Well, how much
do you... It was easy for me to ingest.
How much do you take? Because with the oil, you take a half a grain of rice to start with.
Yeah, tiny little amount
so
to
start.
So
how much of the paste do you take, David?
The paste started out... Now, this was an 11-week to 12-week treatment plan, and you started off with an eighth of a teaspoon four times a day, and you increase that by an eighth of a teaspoon until you get to a full teaspoon four times a day. And then when you're finished that one full teaspoon four times a day, then you hit the, until your paste is completed, you hit seven teaspoons a day until it's done. That's what I did. Now I can say that in all honesty, was that it worked extremely well, because up until I started doing the seven teaspoons a day, and I was just flooding my body like incredibly with THC and CBDs, like it was... Everything prior to that, I could function total normal. Mm-hmm. I wasn't like I had, and the strange thing about it was that I found with the use of the cannabis, it was very environmental. I found it depended on who was around, how I was dealing with the effects of the cannabis.
Well, that's interesting.
I had every high possible. I had everything from the paranoia to the euphoric to the body stone to God knows what. But one thing about it, I was never depressed through that whole period. Not whatsoever.
And how long did you take it?
I did it over a 10-week period.
10-week period.
Yeah. Because when I read the dosage for the oil, it was saying somewhat, if you can increase your dosage as quick as you can, as much as you can, as much as you can tolerate and still be comfortable. And I did that. And up until the seven teaspoons a day, I was functioning quite well. But when you go from four teaspoons to seven teaspoons, like the next day, like that's quite an increase.
Kind of lost in space, eh?
Yeah. I wasn't doing too much there for about 2 weeks.
In the twilight zone for a bit.
David, do you know what the THC level was in your paste?
No, I didn't. And that was one of the discussions that we had, Corey, if you recall, was that the
right
one thing about the paste is that you don't know what the level of THC is. So it's sort of, is it going to be a hit or miss?
Yeah.
I'm not that familiar with it. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with paste other than, you know, what I've seen online and stuff. But evidently, you hit the jackpot.
Yeah, I did. I had it. And, you know, like, to be honest with you, it's difficult being, a patient or a victim of cancer, is that when you're going into this, because it's so still not out there, you're skeptical and you're pessimistic because you don't know. You really don't know, and you're afraid. But one of the things, so I was still like, is it hocus pocus? Is this the real deal? But I was already committed to it. And one of the things that my supplier sent to me is that he sent me two little jars of cannabis paste. for skin cancer. And I had a friend who had skin cancer on his head. And I asked him, I said, do you want to try it? And if anybody's had skin cancer, it takes a while to see. Well, the dermatologist may see it, or your doctor, and then you refer to the dermatologist. He had previous skin cancer before, so they knew it was skin cancer. And the dermatologist knew it was skin cancer. But sometimes I like to wait so that they can do a real good burn or whatever it is they do with taking the skin cancer out. And lo and behold, within the first 4 days when he started using the paste, the cream, cannabis cream, it started to become very pussy and it was leaking out. And so he called me and he said, well, I got to stop taking that. And I said, oh my God. So I called my contact and I said, what's going on here? And my contact said, tell him not to stop. It's working. That's the cancer that's coming out. And I swear to God, at the 9 day point, it was gone. His cancer was gone. His skin cancer was gone, and I couldn't believe it. And it was 2 weeks later, he went to see the dermatologist, and the dermatologist was kind of shocked that it was gone. And he explained to her what happened. And when that conversation took place, as was with the conversation I had with my surgeon and my oncologist, they just totally just no way are they even going to discuss it.
Tell us about your conversations with the medical authorities when you told them what you had done.
When I spoke to the oncologist, actually, he told me, he said, look, he said, I can't support that. He said, there's no proven science research. He said, we are people of science. And when it was all said and done, I got that. I get that from the doctors.
Yeah, but the interesting thing, David, is there's plenty of science out there. They just don't, they haven't read it or haven't looked for it.
Well, the research isn't there and the field trials aren't there for the medical society to really reflect on in terms of it's a treatment that's accepted, we'll say, within the medical community. And to a certain degree, cannabis is accepted for certain things in the medical community now, but not for the treatment of cancer. So the oncologist told me, he said, it would be like me saying to you to go to drink some holy water and your tumor will disappear. And I just said, I know where I'm going. The conversation's pretty well over. And when I talked to my surgeon, he said, look, he said, I don't have time to talk about that. He said, I don't even need to hear that.
There isn't any money in this for me.
Well, I don't think there's any money. In defense of the doctors, I have to say is that I have to agree, like, I wouldn't want my doctor prescribing me snake oil. They have to go with what's scientifically proven and approved. And I think it's kind of dangerous when doctors start going outside that. However, in my case, as skeptical or whatever I was, but I was doing the treatment, it was for me and it was a sign to my family and my friends. I was going to take control over my cancer based on my conversations that I've had with Corey, my contact, reading the Rick Simpson story. And what happened with my friend only reinforced the fact, hey, this may work. It may work. And because I got kind of delayed in my PET scan to see if the cancer had spread anywhere else, by the time I got my PET scan, it was clearly noted that my tumor was no longer what it was, and they would only refer to it as tiny. It was now tiny, and that it would only take a little bit of scopic, arthroscopic, whatever they call it, surgery,
right,
to remove the tumor. And the surgeon said he would look around the my nodes and everything to see if there's any other cancer cells, and he would let me know. And he said, but right now it's not looking like you're going to need chemo or radiation.
Did you end up having surgery, David?
Yes, I did. Yes, because it was only small at this point. Mm-hmm. I'd finished my treatment, and I just wanted it out. Whatever was there, I wanted it out. It was tiny, and I just wanted it out. And we had already gone 5 months now. We were in September. I've only had surgery 5 weeks ago. So I went from April, from diagnosis, until September. September 22nd.
And you're clear.
At the results of the surgery and everything, it was that I'm 100% clear of cancer. I have no cancer. And I met with my surgeon, and this was a funny thing for me. I met with my surgeon last week, and he told me that I was doing well and my wounds were healing well. And he said, I do have to tell you, though, he said, you still have a 20% chance of your cancer returning. And I didn't say anything, but I was looking at him thinking, good Lord, like everything that I had read and everything I was told was that I had a 20 to 25% survival rate over a 5-year period with the type of lung cancer that I had. And now you're telling me I got a 20% chance I might get cancer back. But I think 20% of our population is guaranteed after 60 years old, they're going to get some form of cancer.
Did you tell him that or did you bite your tongue?
No, this surgeon you don't really talk to. He's very straightforward, man. He's a very busy man, as most surgeons are. They've got 2,000 or 3,000 patients, and they can't be sitting there all day talking to you about things such as cannabis treatment.
David, may I ask you, what was your doctor's response when they see that this cancer's completely shrunk away?
They wouldn't. They would not discuss it with me. They would not even have. They just wouldn't talk about it anymore. It went from like a fairly large tumor. It was 2.5 centimeters down to not sure at the end, but it was tiny. It went from what they referred to as large. It was growing to very tiny. Wow. I said, "Well, how big is it?" And he said, "Oh," he said, "this whatever." I said, that was the only conversation I had, and that was with the surgeon.
Interesting. So you accomplished that in 12 weeks? Was it 12 weeks or 10 weeks?
10 weeks. 10 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. Good well, let's say you. 11 because I was on the oil a bit there for maybe about a week before I got my my treatment kit.
11 weeks.
David, this may be an unfair question, but if your brother was faced with the choice of what he did, which was chemo and cannabis oil, where do you think he would have gone? Which direction?
Funny you ask that question, Ian, because and you hit the nail right in the head, was that his daughter had heard about it, but she'd only heard about cannabis treatment from the United States. And there was no way we could get cannabis from the states, the United States, which would be the Western states, back into Canada to him. And there was very little information. Like, we're all ignorant about this. The vast majority of population today is totally ignorant of cannabis treatment.
That's why we're doing this show.
Yeah, I mean, when Corey was dealing with her cancer, Corey, there was very little information even on the internet about this.
Yeah, I was completely on my own. There weren't any Facebook groups, just Run From The Cure video and the phoenixtears.ca website, and that was it.
Yeah, but it meant a lot to me that I got a hold of Corey, because that was a real person. You know how you can look at the internet, you can see things on the internet, but the conversation that I had with the naturopath drove me that way. The two sites that I reviewed drove me towards Corey, and I couldn't believe Corey answered. Now I'm talking to a real human being that has actually experienced it. And then I started to note that Corey's like the guru, or she's the main person now, like that people look up to and look at and respect. Since this all happened, was that I did post my journey on Facebook. Since that time, I've received numerous calls, and I refer them to the two contacts that I know. One is for oil, and which is where they use capsules and suppositories, and the other one is to the paste oil. And I always tell them it's up to them what they want to do. It's that sense. And there's been, I'd probably say, I've only been 5 weeks since I posted that. And I know of at least 8 people now that have moved in that direction.
Yeah, you can only point people in the right direction. They have to make the decision themselves.
Exactly.
And that's really the key. And I think one of the benefits of Corey helping thousands of people around the world is that she was a victim of cancer herself and cleared it using cannabis oil. That's how I actually met Corey when I was working in commercial radio, and I used to interview her once a month. And it was by far the most popular program that I did. And so Corey and I thought, let's get together and start this up and see if we can help more people around the world deal with this. Because, David, you were correct. Most people are ignorant about the medical benefits of cannabis.
Well, it's a best-kept secret. Right. And what's frustrating for me now is seeing like how it affected me and how it's affected other people. And now I'm in contact with people that have read Corey's story and have reviewed Rick Simpson's Run from the Cure. And then they're calling me because of that post, and friends are, you know, contacting their family members who got cancer, and they're calling me. And Corey, I know where you're coming from now. You could spend, and I've only got a very small group, you could spend all day, all night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week talking to these people.
Yeah,
because they're scared. They're leery. They don't know what to do. And then probably one of the most frequent questions asked of me now: should I do the cannabis before chemo, or should I do the cannabis during chemo and radiation? I always tell them it's their choice. Mm-hmm. It's got to be their choice. And when they asked me, they said, "In all honesty, what would you do?" I said, "Based on my experience, I don't care how fast cancer grows, two to two and a half months, it in all probability won't get that far. Like, I really don't think that it's going to have a life-ending effect on you. But to do both at the same time, I don't see a lot of benefit in that."
Yeah, I get asked that a lot too. I always tell people, you know, you didn't just get cancer overnight. This cancer has been growing for a long, long time. Take a month, take a couple of months. Try the oil. You can always do the chemo after. And, you know, back a ways, I had a documentary company out of the UK contact me, and they wanted some examples of people who I'd helped walk through their to being cancer-free, and I'd given them a few. And then they said, you know, do you ever lose people? And I said, yeah, you know, quite a lot. And I said, you know, most of these people, you know, their bodies have been completely ravished by chemo and radiation, and they've got one foot in the grave when they find my number. And then they said, okay, well, to be fair, can you name some, talk about a couple of cases of people who did just the oil and didn't do chemo or radiation or anything and still passed away? And I could not name one person. And so, and that doesn't mean that it's 100%. I think cannabis oil has an 80 to 85% success rate. But I always encourage people, you know, try the oil first. You know, you've upped your chances by 30% by not having had chemo and radiation. It's when they've had chemo and radiation that it's so much harder to get them back to health.
I think as a former journalist who spent more than 20 years in the business, I can tell exactly where this UK documentary company was going, because they never go to the medical profession and said, can you tell me someone who has taken chemotherapy and has not survived? Can you tell me someone who has taken radiation and not survived? What are the effects of chemo and radiation? Nobody ever does that.
Yeah.
It's just
yeah.
accepted that we should do this.
Burn the crap out of ourselves.
Yeah.
Poison ourselves.
David, do you take a maintenance dose of your paste every day?
I haven't. I haven't been doing it since my, for about a month after, I did about a month prior to my surgery. I didn't do it. And it's been about 2 months now that I haven't done it, but I will be resuming it within the next month.
Oh, good. I was about to leap all over you and say, you need to be doing a maintenance dose.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something that I have to do, and I'm going to do it. But the issue, I guess part of the problem is that, too, is that for a lot of people, and not me so much, is that it's not cheap. It's a lot cheaper than dying. I can say that. And I know that, you know, like, and I have to be honest with you, is that the suppliers – okay, that are on board with this, I know they have to work at it, and there's a little bit of profit in them, but I don't see a great deal of profit for what they're providing. If I was buying this stuff off the street, I would be paying a higher price.
Yes, you would.
Yes, I would be. And yeah. I think I'm getting it for about half the price or three quarters of the price. And but going back to one thing you were asking me, like I did have a case of the fellow that I was talking to, his wife, he just passed away 2 days ago. But Corey, you were right. he was way too far gone in his cancer and his chemo treatment. Because when you get to someone who can hardly talk and can hardly breathe, like they're, and he had lung cancer, by the time he got his medication from, he started the oil, but that was only about 2 weeks ago, and he passed away, unfortunately.
Mm, that's too bad. You know, David, every single time that I have lost a patient, without exception, every single time, the family has said to me, what a difference the oil made to that person's quality of life.
Corey, you and I never had this conversation. You are absolutely correct, because like 3 days into it, she said, oh my goodness, he's breathing better. He's sleeping through the night. He's starting to eat.
Yeah.
But his body was just racked with everything
else. Yeah, it was just too far gone.
Yeah, but that's amazing you said that, because that's exactly what she said.
Yeah. I hear it all the time. Thank you. You know,
David, in your discussions with people, and you tell them about cannabis oil, do they ever say to you, "Well, I wouldn't mind trying it, but I don't want to get high"?
Yep, and because of Corey told me that suppository. Actually, one of the suppliers is doing. She does the suppositories with high in THC, I believe, Corey, you can correct me, and also supplies CBD pills to fight off any chance of becoming high.
Yeah, or root pills, I believe she uses, too. Cannabis root seems to stop the high dead in its tracks.
What was that thing that you were telling me, Corey, many months ago that you can buy at the health food store?
Oh, citicoline.
Citicoline.
Citicoline will stop the paranoia, and it lessens the high. I think it's because it makes you more alert. But it'll stop the paranoia, definitely. And I am the queen of paranoia on cannabis. Seriously, I am. I am, really.
David, anything you'd like to say in conclusion?
I'm just hoping that people that may be listening in that is that they seriously spread the word and convince family members to be supportive of this treatment. I can't say enough that I've seen it with my own eyes. I experienced it personally. It saved my life. There's no doubt in my mind. It works. And I agree with Corey. It may not work. I'd rather have a 80 to 85% chance than that 20 to 25% chance that I had.
Yeah.
And I guess that 80 to 85% works, because I've still got, 15 to 20% chance of getting it back.
David, it was very good of you to do this. I appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
Well, Corey, there's another person that you've helped out.
Yeah.
And very interesting story from David.
Very interesting. And look how quickly he got well.
Yeah. He took it for 10 weeks, and that was it.
And voila. Instead of, you know, chemo and radiation, the gift that keeps on giving.
Right. Cannabis Health Radio is beginning to offer limited sponsorship opportunities for businesses we think would be a good fit for our audience. And the purpose of this podcast is to inform listeners of the medical benefits of cannabis in order to help as many people around the world improve their health or the health of a loved one. If sponsorship is something you would be interested in, then send us an email at info@cannabishealthradio.com. Let's make a positive difference in the lives of others. Corey, we'll be back tomorrow.
See you then.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Cannabis Health Radio podcast. Visit our website, cannabishealthradio.com, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter.